You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
We're going to be in a little Advent series called The Women of Christmas. And so we're going to look at three remarkable women and their story, Elizabeth, Mary, and Anna, as we build up to the celebration of Jesus and his birth. To kick this off today, have you ever waited so long for something that you started to question, would it ever happen? And I think any person who's lived any stretch of time in Toronto knows what it's like to wait. If you've ever been in traffic, or if you're a sports fan, pick your team, it doesn't matter. We seem to be waiting constantly for our teams to perform at the highest level. I mean, let's give the Raptors a break. They did do that in 2019. But for most of the time as a fan, it's a hard process of being a fan of Toronto sports teams. Advent is a time of waiting, as we've just read. It's a time of longing. It's a time of anticipating. Elizabeth's story, we're going to dive into her story today. Elizabeth's story invites us into that, to share in that experience. And as you and I will discover, her story is more relatable to your life than you might think. And so before you shut off, think, well, I've got nothing to do with this woman, I think you might resonate a little bit more with the story than you realize. So join me in Luke chapter 1. We're going to read different portions of scripture throughout this message, but we're going to kick off with the first few verses that are going to set the scene for Elizabeth's story. It says, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. And so we begin with Elizabeth's story with the weight of waiting. The weight of waiting. Now, in just those few verses, if you know nothing about the Bible, if you know nothing about Elizabeth's story, in those few verses, it tells us a few things that are worth considering in terms of her context. She's married to Zechariah. Zechariah is a priest. It was an honorable job, if you will, honorable calling, if you will, in the nation of Israel. It says that she's a descendant of Aaron. Aaron was the priest that was alongside Moses. So she comes, they come from good stock, if you will. They have honorable standing in the community from that point of view. It tells us that they're servants of God. It tells us that they're faithful. It tells us like they obey and they're righteous blamelessly. I mean, these are the poster childs for living according to the Torah, to the law of God. And so we see that they are incredibly godly in that sense. And then in verse 7, one word creates the tension, but. Now, you might say, okay, you're childless. Now, in that context, if you were a married woman and you couldn't bear children, that was a shameful thing. So much so that people actually thought it was a judgment of God upon you. And so with that, you can feel the weight that Elizabeth and Zechariah probably had for many, many, many years. Why? Because it tells us another thing. They're now beyond the age of being able to have children. So all natural hope of having children is gone. And so as they're described as this godly couple, as they're described as being faithful to God all these years, we also see another side of pain, of longing that's gone unmet, of wanting a child, no doubt, but compounded with the cultural religious shame that comes with that and personal sorrow. And so even despite their faithfulness to God, their reality did not align with their expectation. And I wonder if we can begin to relate a little bit like that with Elizabeth. Like Elizabeth, all of us carry unmet longings, unanswered prayers, a disconnect from our expectation with what our reality is. And so we can look at our lives and say, God, why hasn't this changed yet? We all have a but in our lives, excuse the pun there, if you will, but we all have that part of our life that doesn't seem to be going according, certainly, to our plan or how we imagined it. Perhaps even like Elizabeth and Zechariah, you're faithful. You're a great Christian. You follow Jesus as best as you can. You You spend time with him regularly. You're part of a community church. You're part of getting out there and sharing and witnessing and doing all the things. And maybe in your heart of hearts, you say, God, surely I deserve better. Surely I deserve to have this part of my life answered. I wonder if Elizabeth ever had that crisis in her life where, God, I'm faithful to you. I'm serving you. Why have you not blessed me with a child? And so perhaps you imagine your life very differently to how it currently is, right? I think from large parts or small parts, all of us are in that boat in some way or another. So here's a question for you and I to reflect on quickly. What is an area of your life where you feel stuck? Or perhaps you feel unseen by God? Think about that. Maybe for some of us it comes very quickly. This is like front and center, like yes. So how do we respond to that? How do we respond when, like Elizabeth, we seem to be enjoying so much of God's goodness in one area of our lives, and yet there remains unfulfilled longings and desires in a whole other area of our lives? How do you and I respond when the reality and timeline of our lives doesn't meet our match, our expectations? Well, let's have a look at how Elizabeth responded, and let's continue reading her and Zechariah's story here. Verse 8, once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. We will later know him as John the Baptist. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And so what a dramatic intrusion into their story as God enters their story. But in between the lines there, it wasn't explicit, but implicit in there, how do they respond? How have they responded all these years when this particular longing, this particular desire to have a child has gone unmet? Well, maybe it's summed up in a lot of what we're saying today, faithfulness. We seem to be a theme emerging through our singing today, faithfulness in waiting. They're not bitter. They're continuing to worship God. They're continuing to persist in prayer. They're continuing to live according to God's laws. And so it's so easy. It's too easy for us to get bitter, right? It's so easy for them to get bitter and say, "Well, I'm not going to serve you, God." It's so easy to say, "Well, I've done all this for you, God, but yet you haven't done this for me, God." And so therefore, the deal is off. The relationship is off. But they remain faithful. Faithfulness in waiting. And then notice how God intervenes, not on their timeline, but in God's timeline. And notice how God answers their prayer, but not just answers their prayer, it fits in with his redemptive plan. God is not just some cosmic butler roaming around the universe trying to answer all our prayers to keep us happy. There's something so much bigger almost always going on that we realize. And so sometimes in the waiting, we don't realize all that God is doing. But their waiting, like our waiting, was not in vain. Their child, John, would play a key role in preparing the way of the Lord and for God's plan of salvation. So let's follow up that reflective question we asked, where you feel stuck or unmet. Here's another one. What does faithfulness look like in your current season of waiting? And may it not be bitterness, but maybe persistence in trusting and singing the goodness of God. You know, I love that song, but I think it's I think it's more real to sing it when you know that sometimes it doesn't feel like you're living the goodness of God, right? If I can be like that. Because we live in the tension of where God has entered the world through Jesus Christ and he has promised to fix all, and one day we anticipate that. And sometimes Advent reminds us of his first coming and his last coming. But there was a line in one of the songs, or not in the songs, I think even one of the prayers that we prayed. But it's not just that. It's not just anticipating, reflecting on his first coming and anticipating second coming, that he's present right here, right now, in your waiting, in your frustration, in your barrenness. And it takes eyes of faith to see that. And it takes a heart that's soft before the Lord to recognize the goodness of God is still true, regardless of what may be going on in my life. What does faithfulness look like for you in your current season of waiting? So Elizabeth's story begins with the weight of waiting. And we all feel that weight sometimes, right? The frustration or the anxiety or the just despair sometimes of having things go unanswered or seemingly unanswered in our lives. But she shows herself faithful in waiting. But it doesn't end there. God meets her in her waiting, showing us how to remain faithful and hopeful. So verse 24, let's continue on reading the story. After this, his wife, Elizabeth, became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. And so she recognizes that God's done a miraculous thing. And so she's gone from the shedding of the weight of waiting through her faithfulness. But what's more important is God's faithfulness in her waiting, God's faithfulness in your and my waiting, if we have eyes and ears to see and hear that. And she's full of joy. God's broken through. She recognizes this is a God thing. Her story shows that God's redemption often meets us in ways that we least expect, right? And is part of something bigger than ourselves. And so for them, it's John. It's a baby boy. It's the answer to a prayer they prayed hundreds and hundreds of times. But as they're quickly realizing it's so much bigger than just their answered prayer, that this particular son is going to go on to do some incredible things. And we'll meet Mary in the next week and hear her story about birthing the Savior. And so in our lives, in your life and my life, could we have faith and trust that sometimes God hasn't moved in our lives in the way that we wanted him for good reason? That he's not cruel, that we can know him as a father, and we can know him as a friend, and that we can trust him in the waiting even when we don't necessarily feel like it's a good thing to be waiting, like Elizabeth, like Zechariah. I mean, think about just in their culture, and it's, I think Luke specifically includes the details of how they were blameless and righteous, because in God's eyes, it wasn't a curse on them that they couldn't bear children. In their culture, it was. You were seen as cursed by God. You were seen as shameful, but not in the eyes of God. But then why did God not do something way earlier? I don't know. But I think God's faithfulness in our waiting, he is perfecting us through that as well. He is forming us into a people that had we not gone through the waiting, perhaps we would be deformed or immature in areas. And sometimes it takes the patience and the faithfulness to wait and to see God move in ways that we could never expect. And so her story shows that God's redemption often, like it is in our lives, meets us in ways that we least expect, but is sometimes far bigger than we can imagine. And so I want to move from Elizabeth, and I want to wrap this up, and it's a short message today because we've got some exciting baptisms to get on with, and we don't want to keep them waiting. So from Elizabeth to Julian of Norwich, like Elizabeth, another woman of faith faced deep questions about life's realities. Now, if you don't know Julian of Norwich, she was a Christian mystic around about the 14th century, known for her 16 visions, which he recorded in a book called Revelations of Divine Love. The book is a collection of visions she received during a severe illness. She was on her deathbed almost, and she had these visions, these encounters with Christ that were very vivid. From Norfolk, England, Julian is credited with the first book written by a woman in the English language. Now, many of her visions reflect the paradox of God's goodness in the face of human suffering and sin. She does not dismiss the devastating reality of sin. In fact, her visions reveal to her the gravity of sin and its destructive effects on the world. For Julian, sin is an all-encompassing term for all that is not as it should be in our world. In one particular vision, precipitated by the fact that Julian wondered why God did not prevent sin altogether, she sees and hears Jesus offer these words, okay, kind of beat me to it. Sin is necessary, but all will be well, and all will be well, and every kind of thing will be well. You might recognize the second half of that as a quote. I think T.S. Eliot used it in one of his poems, and it's a relatively famous quote of that. But very rare do we have the full quote in the first part. Sin is necessary, but all will be well, and all will be well, and every kind of thing will be well. And this is the truth of true hope. Hope doesn't bury its head in the sand. Hope stares reality in the face, all of its ugliness, all of its truthfulness, all of its harshness, all of its sinfulness, and still hopes. It faces reality with an unwavering hope. In other words, Julian came to understand with God's redemptive love that God's redemptive love in Christ is greater than sin, is greater than our unfulfilled longings, is greater than our disappointments. She believed that God's purposes will prevail in the end, and his love will ultimately bring restoration and wholeness. And her story is similar to Elizabeth's story, which is similar to your and my story, and is similar to the season of Advent, which invites us into this process of hope in the midst of our waiting, hope in the midst of the darkness of the world, hope in the midst of trusting in the promise that through Jesus, God has, is, and will make all things new. In Revelation 21, verse 5, Jesus, in another vision to another guy called John, said it like this: "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" And that is a promise we have to hold on in our waiting between his first and his second coming. And there are many days, not just out there, but in your life, where it does not feel like anything new is happening, right? But which reality are we going to trust? Which word are we going to believe, ours or his? And so Advent, as we close this and transition into a time of celebrating something beautiful, Advent reminds us that waiting is never wasted. Your waiting, my waiting, is never wasted. God sees you in your waiting. God saw Elizabeth and Zechariah in their pain and their waiting. Elizabeth's story shows us that God's timing, often mysterious, we'll give it that, is always perfect. It's a call to trust that the same God who worked out his purposes through Elizabeth's life is faithful to do it in your life and in my life. And so in a moment of prayer, as we go back into a song of worship, as you reflected on an area or maybe areas in your life that you feel stuck, perhaps you feel unseen, perhaps you feel the grip of bitterness wanting to, perhaps that voice of like, God isn't good, because if God was good, he would have already done fill in the blank for you. And that is a very real voice. And you must know sometimes that's a voice that comes from us, and oftentimes that's the voice of our enemy, Satan. It's as old a voice as is creation. It's the same voice that came to Adam and Eve. And it's a voice that basically says, can you really trust God? Is God really trustworthy? Is God not holding out on you? Is God not wanting you to be like him by not giving you access to what you want? And we know how that turned out for them. And so for us to resist. So bring that unmet longing to the Lord today. Let's trust his faithfulness to transform it from an unmet longing into hope. And let's pray and ask him to do this. Lord, I thank you so much that this season that comes every year is a reminder of your faithfulness. Lord, even the rhythms of life that we enjoy and the seasons of life that sometimes we don't enjoy, it is at least a reminder of your faithfulness, of your goodness, Lord. And I pray for hearts and people here today who are maybe struggling to really say that or sing that, the goodness of God. God, who may be like Elizabeth or are crying out for an unanswered prayer that may be months, years old. God, of an area that just seems barren in their life. But I pray, Lord, through your sovereignty and your faithfulness, God, would you encourage hearts here today, Lord, that your timing is perfect. And in the right time and in the right way, God, that you will bring about new life in barren areas in our lives. Lord, you bring forth your promises through us, Lord, our promises of redemption, promises of new life and new birth, Lord, promises of you are making all things new. And so, Lord, we don't know the timetable. We don't know. We wish we had your timetable, but we don't. But we want to affirm our trust and faithfulness to you in our waiting, God, because you have been faithful to us in our waiting. And so, Lord, in the midst of our waiting, help us to trust your promises. Transform our disappointments, God, into hope as we hold fast to your faithfulness.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.